Signing day is one day away, and Auburn's got some work to do to finish off this top class.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. There's only one day sitting between us and signing day. One day away, less than 24 hours. The faxes will start rolling in. I don't guess they got a fax anymore. Maybe they can email, scan, e-sign, do some different things, but it's here, man. It's here early. This is the earliest it's ever been. We don't have to go through, this is a plus and a minus, we don't have to go through the in-home visits. That's typically where Hugh shines, but on the flip side, man, as good as this class is, you're ready to get it in and get it signed, get this thing over with. Because boy, oh boy, at the action that's going on right now, the last minute bid drop, bag drops, the last minute flips, so much going on. I know the staff is very anxious to get signing day here, because you have a really, really good class already committed, ready to go, and then you're working to put the finishing touches on it. And hopefully that goes down tomorrow. We're going to break all that down. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a 300% casino bonus on your deposit. So whatever you give them, multiply it by three. You get that back on top in free play. You get to go win big in the casino, then take that over to the sports book and let her rip and just bet any type sport you can imagine, any way you can imagine. A lot of fun, easy deposits, easy withdrawal. Check them out, mybookie.ag. Like I said, signing day is typically, I mean, right now, when you're listening to this, the signatures are going to be rolling in. So it's that close. And Auburn's got some work to do. I don't mean that in a negative connotation, but Auburn's got some work to do to hold on to some guys. I think they've done a really good job holding on to some guys, and they've got some work to do to finish off this class and, you know, become honestly a historic class for Auburn. It'll be a historic class for Auburn if the chips fall where they seem to be falling. We're going to look back and think, how the heck did they do this? we'll get to that at the end. But let's talk about what's left to add. What's left to add to the class? Currently, I'm not even going to call it 27 commits. I'll tell you why in a minute. But I think we're currently at 27 commits with one that's going to be a flip unless something changes. And we'll talk about him in just a second. And you're looking to add anywhere from two to four more. Probably going to be more close to the two than the four. Everybody that you're looking at right now is committed somewhere. I mean, that's just the name of the game. That's just the case currently. There's not a lot of uncommitted guys out there anymore. Everybody commits. They get in that class, and then it's a frenzy trying to flip. Florida's flipping a ton of kids. Michigan's flipping a ton of kids. All these schools coming on late, really spending big. They're passing guys back and forth. But Auburn's got two in particular that I think they're in really good shape with, and then some you're gonna, you know, hopefully maybe hit a Hail Mary with. But the first one is no surprise, and it would be the biggest one of the class, and that's Naeem Offord from Parker High School out of Birmingham. Patience and persistence, I think, is going to pay off here. Patience and persistence. They never gave up on Naeem. He committed to Ohio State early, and nothing changed as far as the relationships with Auburn. They just continued to work. They continued to call. They continued to visit. but they were patient. They understood that this is one that's worth waiting all the way to signing day if you have to. And that's what it looks like is going to end up happening. Waiting all the way to signing day to pull off the flip. I think that there's so many people you can point to in this recruitment to give them a huge pat on the back. Hugh obviously is big. Crime Dog's big. Charles Kelly. All those guys have worked really, really hard on this recruitment. And I think it's going to pay off. I think Auburn's going to get a bunch of publicity from this, hopefully, if everything works out. And it's going to be a big shot in the arm to the class, to the perception of the direction of the program. There's just a lot of value in pulling off this flip. Now, Oregon is not making it easy. They've found something that they can really connect with Naheem with, and they're working on that really hard. They're working on that angle really hard, and it at the end of the day, I still think he ends up at Auburn. It wouldn't shock me if Oregon somehow won out just because they have just endless money and the intrigue. I mean, something about there is something about Oregon that's just cool. No matter who you pull for, there's just something about Oregon and it being a Nike school and like the Nike school and all the uniforms and stuff like that. There is just something about Oregon that does make it cool. But man, that's as far away from Birmingham, Alabama, just about that you can possibly be without leaving the continental U.S. and still be in the country. And it's just really hard for me to see Naheem making that choice. It's really hard for me to see him leaving his family like that. I don't know that. I don't see that happening. And I think the patience, again, patience, persistence, I think is going to pay off, and Naheem's going to be a Tiger. And that's going to really help bolster the rating of this class. Darian Smith, interior defensive lineman from Maryland, St. Francis Academy, the same high school that Blake Woodby goes to, the same high school that Bryce Diaz goes to, the same high school that Wayne Henry, your 2026 defensive back, goes to. You've got other targets in the 2026 and 2027 classes that you're looking at there, and he would kind of put the bow on that senior class coming out of that school, because that was a very, very loaded team, a very, very good team, and this kid has a lot of upside. Typically, when I look at rankings, obviously, when I look at a kid, I look at rankings first, and then I go look at offers, and that's where I make my biggest decision. That's where I make my biggest conclusion on if this kid can play or not. And if you go look at Darian Smith's offers, you're talking Ohio State, obviously committed to Tennessee, a playoff team. You got all the SEC teams essentially have offers. A lot of Big Ten teams, basically all the who's who of offers, he has them. So that to me speaks highly of what type of player he is. He and Antonio Coleman, I think, are one in the same. I think he and Antonio Coleman are basically carbon copies of each other. And that's good. That's a good thing because they're both ferocious. They're both explosive and they both can make things happen. And he will be a great addition. He's not going to be one that's going to just blow up your rankings, but he's a player. He's a player. And I think you get him on signing day as well. One that's least a little bit less probable that you're hoping you can maybe flip is and it looked very, very promising as near as a week ago, and that's Usman Chroma. And I really hate that. I'm happy for if he goes to Georgia, obviously that's a dream. That's a dream for a kid from Georgia, a running back from Georgia, to be the running back at Georgia. But I've been pretty tied into this recruitment. I kind of know how things have gone down, and it's just I want a kid, when you go somewhere, I want that school to do everything they can. I want that school to give you the due that you deserve, and I just don't think Georgia's done that. I just don't think Georgia's done that with him. And I think they've taken him for granted. I think that they have sort of played this, you should just want to come to Georgia type role. And I think it turned him off a little bit to the point that I think Auburn was there. I think Auburn was right there. I think that last week, I honestly thought after last week, he was going to come out of that weekend flipped and committed to Auburn, because I think they were upset with him that he even came to Auburn. It's never been to me, from based off everything I've heard, it's never been to me a typical recruitment type scenario where this kid only gets to be recruited one time ever. And, you know, they get wined and dined and get shown all the love. No, this has been like, it's just been you're coming here and we're not going to necessarily put in any extra effort. You just should come here and you're dumb for not coming here and stuff like that. And I think, unfortunately, I think it's going to win out. And it's, you know what, at the end of the day, it's the running back. It's a Georgia running back going to Georgia. Just kind of is what it is. Auburn will win some. Auburn will lose some. He would have been a huge asset here, because I think he's gives you that every down back type thing and type running back, and that's what Auburn needs. There's a little bit of gap in the running back class because you didn't take one last year. But I think Georgia's going to win out. Nothing's impossible, but I think Georgia's going to win out, and I hope that he is happy. I really do. I hope that he's happy whenever he goes there, because it doesn't seem like, I don't know. I hope that made sense. I hope that made sense. It's the whole aspect of you should want to come here versus we need you to come here. You should be here versus we need you here type scenario. Taking for granted versus giving everything you got to show how much we need you. I think that's the difference. So we'll see what happens. But if you flip Offerman and Smith, those will be, there'll be a lot of fireworks. There'll be a good amount of fireworks for Auburn as far as on signing day headlines. So that'd be good. That'd be huge. Flips out. There's some guys that obviously, there's one that I think is going to flip out. And there's some guys that you're worried about that I think Auburn has worked so hard to keep. And we'll get after those in just a second. But we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Go to retirementresults.com/plan. Get a custom portfolio analysis, absolutely free, a $1,500 value, and it's no cost to you whatsoever. No matter if you've already got something in place or you're thinking about doing something or you just want advice, give them a shout. Go to that website, and you'll make a friend at the same time. So tell them War Eagle, tell them we sent you. Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Flips out. All right, so number one, let's just go ahead and get this one off. Go ahead and get this one done with. Donovan Starr, I think, is going to be a Alabama signee. I think he's going to decommit and flip unless Auburn just really, really pushes hard today to make sure that if they want to push hard to really keep him at this point in time. I just don't know that there's anything left in the tank to push to keep him. So I would expect him to flip to Bama. He's been flirting with pretty much everybody since he's been committed. Auburn, whatever. Auburn's flipped guys. Guys have flipped from Auburn. So it is what it is. But you know, Auburn got on him early, and Auburn got on him early before anybody wanted him. So that part kind of is what it is. But he's going to be an Alabama. I think he'll be an Alabama signee, and you know, good for him. Malik Autry, this was one local kid, Opelika, that Florida wanted really badly. Ohio State wanted really badly, and Auburn constantly fight to keep. And I think they're going to end up winning out. It got kind of squirrely here over the last 24 to 48 hours, even after he put out a "I'm shutting it down" graphic. I'm staying with Auburn. I think it got a little squirrely even still. But I think Auburn's going to win out, and he's going to be a Tiger. And boy, what a big child to add to this class. I mean, 6'5", right at 300 pounds, interior defensive lineman. If he comes in ready to go, he could be an instant impact. So I think he ends up staying a Tiger. Anquan Fagans, you saw he visited Alabama over the weekend. I think Steve Wiltfong put out a little bit of information saying that, you know, he's listening to Alabama. I think he's safe. I think we end up keeping him, and he's going to be a stud. He could play corner or safety. He's a baller, just 100% baller, one of the best players in the class. And think about that one. That one there was really never a doubt, even when he was uncommitted, he was coming to Auburn. I think that's just goes to show you how impactful Charles Kelly is on the trail. Really, really did well there to keep him, you know, basically just all locked in, even throughout the season. Jared Smith from same high school. That one was one that got really squirrely. So much so that there was a point where I honestly thought that he was going to go to Ole Miss. I really did. I thought that was basically almost a done deal. And then Michigan got in the fold. That's not really out there much, but Michigan got in the fold and started really coming after him late. He never even got a chance to visit there. But whenever they started throwing money all over the place, that became one that just muddied the water a little bit. But I think it muddied the water enough to help Auburn. I really do, because I don't think he made it to Ole Miss for the Egg Bowl that weekend, and I think Auburn ends up winning out here. So the Michigan Hail Mary may have ended up working in Auburn's favor. So Jared Smith, a guy that he's listed as an edge. I think he'll be more of an end. He could be an edge. I just don't – he'll be a more traditional pass-rushing edge and not one like a Jalen McLeod or a Kieron Crawford that's, you know, also going to be able to drop in coverage, spy the quarterback. I think this is just your true defensive end, edge, pass rusher, set the edge type guy. Maybe can play around 250, 260, and with that big frame and still be long and to be really good. I think he's going to be a good player for Auburn. That was a battle. That was a battle right there at the end. Elijah Melendez, another one that ended up being a lot more interesting down the stretch. Oregon came on really, really strong. Really, really strong. They had lost a linebacker, I think, maybe lost a linebacker commit or didn't get a linebacker commit. So, honestly, they didn't really even have a true stud linebacker. I think they've gotten one since, which helped with help us keeping Elijah. But I never really – that's another scenario where family, I think, won out. And I don't think that the traveling and being as far away as – that legitimately, that's even further than a Naheem offered, getting away from home, that Elijah Melendez would be if he were to gone to Oregon. So it really worked out in Auburn's favor, the proximity to home. So I think he's safe. Where does Auburn finish? Based on if everything plays out and they keep everybody like I think they will, except for Donovan Starr, and they add the guys that I think they'll add, if you just add Offord and Darian Smith and you keep everybody else, you're going to be over on two. I go by the 247 composite. To me, that's the easiest one because it's got the class calculator and it's a composite of all the different sites. And I just think it's done. I think it's more accurate than the others. If you look at that, Auburn would be over 300 points, which would put them squarely in the number five spot, depending on who flips above them and who flips out and who flips in above them. There is a way they could get up to maybe that number three if the chips fall correctly. But you're going to have guys coming out of classes. You're going to have guys going into classes. So even some folks behind Auburn, could jump, and then guys in front of them could fall behind. So we'll have to see what happens there. But when you look at the point total, that will be the highest class. If even if they don't add Alford and Darian Smith, it's the highest class. But if you do, it puts it even cements it even further to give you any type of perspective. If Auburn finishes around 300 points, typically they're in the 275 to 285 range. That's been the average. And then where they finish in the rankings just depends on where the other classes are as far as points. And then we're more of the big guys consolidated at the top, because that's typically what's been the case. Now you're seeing more of the guys spread out. So those same point totals, you know, typically would get you up in that, you know, two or three range, but now they're a little bit more spread out because a lot of guys are getting, with NIL and stuff like that, a lot of your guys are getting big players. They're getting five stars. So it's an unbelievable class. I hope that the lack of late signing day buzz doesn't really put a damper on what was done. I really do. Like, I know that you want all the headlines on signing day. We're going to be mad. We're going to see Usman Chroma stick with Georgia. You're going to see probably Justice Terry go to Georgia, even though Auburn, you know, gave him a lot to think about late. And you're going to get – you should get offered. You should get Darian Smith. So that'll give you a little bit of a jolt. But, you know, all the work was done way early. So we're a little bit spoiled in that sense. And I just hope that doesn't put a damper on how remarkable, like unbelievable, that this class is, considering all the circumstances. You know, Auburn went with that early commit strategy, you know, so that they could sort of focus on the season, which maybe they should have. That didn't really benefit the season that much, but I think it ended up accidentally helping, because they do such a good job retaining commits. They do such a good job with relationships that it made it, once those kids were in and they were connected, it was really hard for them to want to go elsewhere. And then obviously Auburn's really competitive in the NIL space as well. But I'm anxious to see if you carry over that early commit strategy into 2026. It seemed to work this time. Hopefully you don't have to go through the stress of being, you know, losing games and then having to explain that and continue to sell a vision. You probably increased your workload. You increased your financial, the financial ramifications of this class. You made it more expensive, all based off the results on the field. So hopefully if you clean that up, it makes your job a little bit easier, to sleep at night and not so stressful. But I think it should be a lot of fun. I think from a recruiting standpoint, I would put this staff up against anybody. It's unbelievable what they've been able to do with the product that they had to sell this year. So we'll see what happens. And we'll break it down tomorrow. Once everything's all said and done, may do a live show afterwards just to recap everything that goes on. Just don't really have a ton of plans set in stone, but we're going to be here no matter what. So, guys, I really appreciate you listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. You know we're going to be back every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.